Just for a moment, for Sister Laura's dad, we got a little request there a while ago that he had had another heart attack, so let's just put our hearts in. Lord, as we come to you now, we realize, Lord, that there's no other place that we can go but to you. And so we just come to you now, bowing our hearts, Lord, and just asking God that you would touch Sister Laura's dad. Whatever the situation is, Lord, we know that it is under your domain. So we're asking, Lord, that the benefits of Calvary would go to him. Lord, not only that you would just touch his body, Lord, but you begin to deal with his heart and make him realize, Lord, that needs to make a serious decision now to surrender his life to you. We just commit him to you now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's just go ahead and open in the scriptures to Luke chapter 18. Good to see everybody here that's here. Good to see the different ones that were out sick. Feeling better now. Amen. We go through cycles and phases of things like that, but the Lord is good to deliver us out of all of that.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So we just appreciate that. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5 also, chapter 5 verse 15. Apostle Paul speaking to us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray once again. Lord, we want to just surrender to you now, or everything about us, our thoughts, our voice, our hearing, everything, Lord. We just give it to you now and ask God that you would speak to us through your word, Lord, that you would touch everyone that will hear this, both present, those who are streaming, those who will hear it later. We just pray, God, that you minister to them through your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you this morning about leading and following. Leading and following. Yeah. You know, I was reading the other day, it comes to mind now, even though I hadn't really thought about it, but Brother Branham was talking about easier for a rich man, or for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to go into heaven. And I had heard that there was a place over there somewhere that they referred to as the eye of the needle that a man can pass through, but a camel can't, or whatever. But when Brother Branham was talking about it, he said that this camel, in order for the camel to go through this place over there, that he'd have to get down on his knees, and he'd have to get rid of all his burden. And I thought that was a lot better than anything I'd ever heard in the past. Amen. So I want to talk to you about leading and following. So believe it or not, every one of you are called to be leaders. You know, you probably would say, well, I'm not, you know. But every one of us are called to be leaders. And the reason why I say that is because someone is watching each one of you.
That's right.
You are having influence on somebody. Mm-hmm. Many of you have influences on many people. And so you influence people. They watch you. They learn from you. They mimic you. And so whether you like it or not, you are a leader. Whether you believe it or not, you are a leader. My little granddaughter back there is a leader because my grandson, who's about a year younger than her, is going to be watching her. Right? So we are all leaders in our own capacity. But also, we are called to be followers. Now, if you think about it, you know, I don't really go for all this modern day change of terms and terminology and mentalities and so forth. And masculine is masculine, feminine is feminine. And so, if you really think about leading and following, that's masculine and feminine. That is giver of seed, receiver of seed, right? That is male and it's female. And so it's a shepherd and sheep. And so every one of us have this call in our lives to be both leaders and followers.
That's right.
To be a shepherd and to be a sheep. Every one of us. And so we have to remember that. And the thing about it is, in order to be a good leader, you must be a good follower.
That's right.
You cannot be a good leader if you don't follow well. So, you know, there is a Bible pattern that's all through scriptures, and that is that when someone is a good follower of their leader, that they are elevated to a position of equality to that one they follow. And so it is equality under headship, right? It's equality under headship. And so we understand that the bride of Jesus Christ, that as she is a good follower of him, that if she surrenders her life to him, that redemption elevates her to his side, to where she is equal with him. And remember, the scriptures tells us that he put apostles, put a fivefold ministry for the perfecting until we come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. So even though all through ages that members of the bride were considered to be elevated to his side as long as they were submitted to him, that there's this element of, at the end time, there is a phase that the church goes into at the end time where she is truly elevated to his side, where she grows up into him, the full measure, the full stature. But that can only happen. She can only be brought to the place where she is him. As quote Brother Branham said, the only way that can happen is through her total, complete surrender, total, complete following him as a leader. And so if you look at a manager in a business or whatever, maybe, you know, a manager has a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of authority. He understands what the plan is. He understands what needs to be done. And he will give instruction to those who are underneath him. And when those people who work for him, when they get into one accord with the plan, with the knowledge that he has, with the commission that he has, with the purpose that he has, when they get in one accord with that and they carry those things out, that elevates them to equality with him under headship, meaning that if there is a blessing for all that being done, they are partakers of that blessing too, because they are part of it. I say many times, and I've said it here and at work, I can't do all the work that my guys do. Right? They are my hands. They are my feet. They get the work done. I can't do it without them. So they're just as important as anyone else would be. And so there's that concept, so that the bride of Jesus Christ becomes one with him when she is totally, completely surrendered to him. So we know in this scripture that we read, Brother Brandon preached a couple of times a sermon called Leadership. And he used the text of this rich young ruler, as we would refer to it. He used that in those sermons. And I will say that Brother Branham preaching these leadership sermons right at the end of his ministry, just a couple of, not very far apart, a week or two apart there, right at the last, that was positioned very well in his ministry. Not that he would preach it early on in his ministry, but right at the last, because everything that God had done and unfolded and brought to us through that ministry has now been given to us. And then that great commission there to follow the leadership of what God has sent in our day. And so God put it there at the last of his ministry. And so he uses rich young ruler as this text. And he preached on that topic many other times, but he didn't title sermons leadership until the very last there. And so he's using the rich young ruler as an example of how important it is that we follow the leadership that God gives us. And that leadership could be not just the Word, not just the Holy Spirit, but those that God puts in your midst who are gifted and called of God to influence you there, because it's the Word working through them also. There's different aspects of that, and so we'll try to touch on all of them this morning. But the rich young ruler, Brother Branham used that because he wanted to make sure we understood that it doesn't matter what you gain in this life, physically, whatever it is, none of that matters if you miss eternal life. So Brother Branham expressed it in many, and you can go listen to it, but this he expressed it very much. He was rich. Because a lot of us would say, man, if I had more money, then I could do this or I could do that. I'd be a better person. I'd make better decisions if I just had some more money. Well, if you've lived very long, you know that's not the answer.
Right.
So he was rich. He was young. A lot of us would say, man, if I could be young again. Boy, I've said it many times myself. Boy, if I could be 18 or 20 years old, but know what I know now.
Right.
Things would be done differently. Maybe, maybe not. Right? But he was rich and he was young. He was a ruler. Right? He had authority over people. He was a ruler. Brother Brem said he was a religious, because we read in the scriptures. He said, I've done all this. I've honored my father and my mother. I haven't stolen. I haven't killed. I haven't, you know, all those things. I've done those things. So he was religious. He had been taught well, as Brother Brem said. He had been taught well. He was been brought up right. He was successful. Right? He was accepted by those around him. He was respected by those around him. I mean, of all these things, he had attained many things in life. Right? He was setting pretty good when you would look at it. If you would look at it from a natural standpoint, he was doing pretty good. Right? You'd say, man, if I had money and people would respect me and I have my youth back and all those sorts of things. But without Christ, without leadership, and Brother Branham is the one that tied this together to show that this rich young ruler said he had all of those things, but he knew something was wrong. He knew that those things did not provide him eternal life, or he wouldn't have come and asked for it. Wouldn't have come and asked Jesus. So he knew something was wrong, knew something was lacking, and knew that those things were not good enough. But the issue there was, because we read it, that when the Lord came to him, or when he came to the Lord, rather, and said, what must I do? Brother Ben said, see, he wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. Right? He wanted to do something to gain eternal life. But when he came, when Jesus gave him the instructions of what he needed, when the Word counseled him and told him what it was he needed, he rejected it. He went away sorrowful. He couldn't obey the Word. The scripture said he went away sorrowful. When Jesus saw that, and Brother Bram talked about it, said in the scriptures, read this more than one place, Jesus loved him. And Brother Branham said, if Jesus looked at him lovingly, he said, there must have been something real, something genuine about the young man. And so what I want to really bring into view here this morning is he had something that was he was lacking. And when he came to the word corrected there was to correct the error. Brother Webb said, the word always corrects the error. He gave that example many times. When Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, he was still the word. And when he was left behind there in Jerusalem, his folks went 3 days and realized he wasn't there. And when they went back, they found him, and he was with the in the temple there, talking with the different religious leaders. And they were astounded at him being 12 years old, that he knew what he knew. And when Mary said, your father and I, talking about Joseph, your father and I have been searching for you. Brother Brent said, Joseph wasn't his father. And because he was the word had to correct the error.
Right.
And so the word said to his mother, said, might I be about my father's business? If Joseph was his father, then he would be making stuff in the carpenter shop. But he was about his father's business, challenging that false doctrine that those priests had been given. Right? So what I'm trying to labor on there is to bring you into an understanding that you have issues in your life. And if you come into the presence of the word can only do one thing. And that is correct the error.
Right.
When you come into the presence of word, when you come to the house of God, when you read the Bible, when you listen to those tapes of that prophet, that word must speak to you, and it must speak to your situation of what you're lacking in your life. And it does, because the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no man that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. It's the word that does it. Even Jesus Christ, because he was the word. Brother Branham, because the word came to him as a prophet. That's why that discernment was there. But it is the word that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's right.
So when you come into the presence of the word, that living word that created everything, he knows everything about you. So every time you come in his presence, he will speak to you of an error that you have, if you have error in your life.
Right?
He speaks to you. This man came to Jesus. He came to the word and didn't realize, but the word that discerns spoke to him and said, this is the only thing you got that you need to deal with. This is what you must do. Amen. And so we should realize that it's the same way for us. That each time we come to the house of God, each time you open the Bible, listen to the tape, you're coming to the presence of the word to ask, what about my life?
Right.
What's missing? What do I need differently?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that the word would speak to you.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that we don't want to make the mistake that he made, because when the word told him exactly, you know, if he would have went and sold everything that he had, give to the poor, and follow Jesus, this would be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Branham would not have been able to go on and say the things he said about this that we'll talk about here in a minute. It'd been different. But see, he rejected the leadership of the word. He rejected the leadership of the discerner. The one who knew everything about his life, that could tell, just like the woman at the well, when she realized that he was a prophet, she said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." And she immediately entered into religious conversations with him because she wanted to know about true worship, and she knew a prophet could tell her that because the word comes to a prophet. So when you know that you come to the presence of the word, you know that word can talk to you. You know it can tell you what's missing in your life.
Yeah.
Like Brother Daniel said the other day, try to listen to what the word is saying.
Right.
Because when you listen to what the word is saying, it's the same situation right here. You're being counseled by the word. I don't have to know what you're dealing with. All I do is just preach the gospel. Brother Daniel, preach the gospel. But I can tell you that it speaks to situations in your life because it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents.
Mm-hmm.
It's God speaking through a man, and without even man even knowing what's going on, hardly.
Right?
So the word is the deserter. So he didn't want leadership of the word. And this is why Brother Branham brought us down here, because he realized that through his ministry, God had brought to us correction.
Right.
Brought to us discernment. Right? And he knew that we must follow this message. We must follow the leadership of this message. And so he preached and gave the example and showed, here's what happens when you don't follow leadership. You don't follow what God has done, the leadership that he sent. Whether it be your pastor and your ministry, or if it be the word from the scriptures, from the message, to the Holy Spirit in your life. All those forms of the same leadership. And so he couldn't submit to that. Couldn't let the word lead him. He allowed something else in his life to be more important. Right? Something else was more important. I want to ask you a question. Can God use that in his kingdom? That characteristic of that rich young ruler, to not be able to surrender everything he had to the word, could God use that as a building block in his kingdom? We talk about how that death does not change us, right? It just changes our dwelling place. And if we want to have the character to rule there, we have to gain that character here by trials and so forth. And so if there's something that can't go there, it won't go there. So was there something in this young man, this rich young ruler, something there that God, he said, I just can't use that. So, you know, a lot of things in natural world that are poisonous are beautiful to attract. And no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how much you want, I wish I could just adopt this into whatever it is that I want, but you can't afford to because it's poison.
Yeah.
Right? And so no matter how much Jesus loved this young man, how much that he looked at him and there was something real about him, no matter how much, he could not let that man in because of that one thing there that held in the way. That he held his riches higher than following Christ. Yours doesn't have to be riches. It can be anything. And that's the concept. If anything that you esteem higher than Jesus Christ, to the place that when the word is discerning your life and telling you what you might need to surrender that you have not surrendered, and you say, oh, I won't do that. I'm just going to continue on with what I have. He can't build with that.
Right.
Because remember, before you can be equality to him, you had to be totally, completely surrendered to headship. Equality under headship. Amen. We saw that in Saul, the ministry of Saul. He just couldn't obey the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because he could not obey, then there had to be sacrifice. That's why the scripture said, "Is what's better, to obey or to sacrifice?" Well, what's better is to obey.
That's right.
So that there doesn't have to be a sacrifice. Because if we don't obey, there will be sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Right? There will be consequences if we don't obey.
Yeah.
So, he can't use that. We must, you know, and so today, because we have an end time message, then we definitely understand and know that we need to surrender to the word. And let it take us out of the mess that we're in. That we, you know, this world is in. Brother Brad preaching, the world is falling apart. You know, we say this message is a big message, but in a certain way, it's really not. It's really not that big. It's pretty simple.
Right.
Of what happened in the garden. And the deception that Satan put through the ages. And now that God has exposed it. He has brought a message on the scene that has exposed it and said, come out of her, my people. And this is what, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple. That he says, come out of my people, and he's showing you that the world is falling apart.
Yeah.
That there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there that's good anymore.
Right.
The world's falling apart. Their science is all messed up. Politics is messed up. They can't tell the truth no more. Mm-hmm. It's all about lying and deception. And it's got to the place where they know that you know they're lying, but they do it anyway.
Right.
Because they can get by with it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the way it is. The religious system, same way. Mm-hmm. Then man said, Brother Branham, we'll come and be baptized. And none of them did.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They knew it was right and didn't come. And went out and led millions.
Yeah.
See, this, until we catch this message is right. God has given us a lifeline in this day. It has told us the truth about what's going on. And this world is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. School's messed up. Teaching your kids things that's filled. Food's hybrid. Can't get, it's all messed up. Marriages. People don't even have the right kind of affections anymore. Mm-hmm. Finances are all messed up. So, Brother Ram talked about us. He said, this is a pest house, right? But you realize that the whole world has become a pest house. This whole world has become a place not fit to live anymore because of what man has done to it. And so, but God has sent us the word to be leadership to lead us out of the nonsense of the religion and the schools and all the stuff I just named, all the things that's fallen apart, he's given us something to lead us out of that. But we must follow.
Right.
And so we're all to be leaders, but in order to be good leaders, we have to be good followers.
Right.
If you want to be able to help someone in the message, then you need to follow the message. Need to listen to what the message says. And don't treat it like a buffet and just pick and choose the things you like and ignore the other things.
Right.
You know, the natural life, there's things on that food bar I won't eat. I just don't like, right? But we can't do that with God's word.
Right.
You know, we can't do that. And there are things, I've said it many times, I'll keep saying it, that God sent this prophet to let us see through the eyes of God truth. And so if we want to know God's opinion on things, we've heard it. We've heard what God's opinion is on things.
Right.
And I could go all kinds of directions there, but it'd be rabbit trails right now, so I won't. But God gave us insight now to understand what God's opinion is on things. So, I want to speak to you as leaders. As I said, you must be good followers to lead. But you need to look around and you need to look, assess and realize what it is in your life that you're leading. Because you're responsible to that.
Sure.
Those that you influence, you need to take an assessment and look around and say, Who am I influencing? Who's looking at me? Who am I responsible for? You know, as I've said, you take a new person, a person come to work, and he's really good at something, other people automatically look to him because he knows what he's doing. It's by his fruit shows that he knows what he's doing. And that makes him responsible,
yeah.
Right? It's because others are going to look to him. And so take an assessment of what your responsibilities are, of who you're a leader to, and then take an initiative to lead them.
Right.
To lead them. And I say take the initiative, I mean lead them. Don't just walk around and hope they follow you, but lead them.
Right.
Lead them by example. Show them how it works. Take them by the hand and lead them right through it to show them that this is correct. So lead them. I've told you the testimony of a friend of mine years ago. He's probably gone on to be with the Lord. I haven't talked to him for many years. Brother Ralph Aliano. And I've told you his testimony where, he and his son was, doing roofing work or whatever. And they had a big business or whatever. They had a roofing job they needed to do. And it was not done, and a day come up, it was just absolutely going to pour rain all day long. and it would have cost them a lot because the building was not ready. And Brother Aliano, just him and his son, pulled up to the job site, and he said it looked like it rain was going to just dump at any moment. And he looked over at his son, and he was a man of faith, and he looked over at his son. By the way, Brother Aliano was in a meeting one time after Brother Branham was gone, and he said the Lord spoke through prophecy and spoke about Brother Branham in prophecy. It wasn't too long after he was gone. And he said it was a Pentecostal environment, I'm sure, but spoke through prophecy and said, the Lord said, my precious prophet, William Branham. So Brother Aliano looked over at his son, and he said, I'm going to show you how this works. He had faith. He said, I'm going to show you how this works. They got out of the truck, and they got up their ladders and got up on the roof, and they worked all day, however long it took to get the job done. And his faith, holding that prediction, he said the clouds looked like they were just, you know, hanging down, about to touch the top of the buildings, I guess, or whatever. I forget how he described it, but he, all that time, all day long, he just held it right there. He said, and he told his son, I'm going to show you how this works. And when they were coming down the ladders, taking the last of their stuff, the bottom fell out of the sky. You know, they finished the job. But he said, he wanted to demonstrate, to show to his son, let me show you how the prayer works, that faith works. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Take the initiative. Take them by the hand and show them this gospel works. Mm-hmm. Right? You say, well, you know what? Jesus, he stood right there in the midst of unbelievers who were looking at him and angry at him, and heal that man with a withered hand, mm-hmm. right in front of him. Yeah. And I'm not saying that you can necessarily do that. I'm just saying, take the initiative. You can do more than what you think you can.
Yeah.
Amen? And so, you know, we must lead. And so, you know, but then I want to say to you as followers, you've got to follow. When you look around, I'll tell you, do the same thing. Look around and look at what is in your life to be a leader, to lead you, to guide you, whether it's scriptures, the message, your ministry. Look at those things. Make an identification, an assessment, and then follow. Listen to those things. Listen to that voice of God's word. Watch what's being said and done because it's God. Right? And follow that. Be good followers. You have to recognize those things that God has placed in your life to be a leader to you, and then honor it because it's a gift from God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is Paul says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. My wife and I ate breakfast yesterday out here at the wagon wheel, and there was a couple, two or three men sitting at another table, and they were talking about a pastor of a church, a minister. Not evil, but this one fella, he said, I guess maybe this pastor of this church maybe kind of acts like he's a little bit above others, maybe. Don't know the situation, but just by what he was saying. But he said, God forgive me for saying this, you know. But he was saying, that man puts his pants on the same way I do. And he says, God forgive me for saying that about ministry. And my wife said, well, why would he have to say that? Why would he have to say, God forgive me? And I understand, and I was thinking about it. And so you realize that your ministry is no different than you,
right?
We do put our pants on the same way that you brothers do. And we aren't any different. We're not higher than anyone else. We're one of you. But yet, because of the call in our lives, because we labor among you, because the scripture said to know that and honor them, then, you know, it's the call that you honor. But that doesn't elevate the man any higher. You honor that position. You honor what God is doing through that. To know that it is a gift of leadership God has put in your life to speak to you and to speak into your life. But other than that, he's no different. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17 by itself. Look at this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And so whether it is a person who's got a gift in their life that God has put in your midst to speak to you and speak into your life, or if it's the word from scriptures, from the message, Holy Spirit speaking to you, those channels of leadership in your life, you must recognize those and follow those. Because if we do not, we'll make the same mistake that rich ruler made. And that is, Brother Branham went on to say that rich young ruler, it takes a prophet to do this because the scripture does not tell you this. But remember, God used that prophet to let us see the truth for the day, right? And so we know this story we just read. He went away for sorrowful. Where Brother Brem said, we've seen him later. We've seen him later on. When Jesus said that there was a rich man and Lazarus. And they both died. Remember the story? Remember the that rich man was in torment.
Right.
And you know the story, how he asked for Abraham, you know, bring and quench him and so forth.
Yep.
That's what became of that rich man.
That's right.
Because he got so rich, he was so successful in this life that he got to the place where he said, you know what? I have so much prosperity that my barns aren't even big enough to hold it all. Mm-hmm. I'll tear these barns down and I'll build even greater. And that's what he did. He built greater. And yet the call came that night and said, thy soul is required of thee. Not your barns, not your success, not the fact that you were a ruler and respected and religious, but thy soul is required of thee. What did you do with the leadership of the word when it came into your life? That's what was required of him. Brother Branham used that in both those occasions, preaching that sermon. He said, let me show you another rich young ruler in the Bible who did follow the leadership of the Lord. And let's see what happened to him. We found this guy, he's in torment. But let's find the other one. And he went to the life of Moses because Moses was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. Right? Look what he was. But the scripture said that he esteemed the reproach of Christ, greater riches than all the abundance of the riches of Egypt. And so when he passes off, later on we find him on Mount Transfiguration. See? Because he made the right decision. But this fellow, and so we're confronted with the same thing. Brother Branham was telling us this, the leadership, and he called it follow me. Right? Follow me. Follow this word. Follow Brother Branham in what? You know, like Paul said, follow me while I follow Christ. Well, Brother Branham could say the same thing. Your minister could say the same thing. Stay with that word. Follow that word. Because when we walk away from it, it's the discerner. It knows what's you need in your life. And so, we'll recognize these things. You want to recognize that you cannot be your own person. I look at these people out here in the world and they have, you know, I don't know, I may be wrong in this, but I see someone and they got pink hair and all these tattoos and things like that. And I look at them and I'm like, they're searching for something. Right? They're looking in the wrong places. But a lot of times when I see that, I think, you know, here's this guy, he dresses so weird. He wants everybody, he knows everybody's going to pay attention to him, right? Mm-hmm. But here's a guy, you know, he's like, I'm my own man. I'm going to be myself. I'm different than everybody else. I'm my own guy. But what you need to understand is we are not our own person. You are, we are sheep. And we don't lead ourselves. So you can only express in your life what's leading you. You can only express in your life what is influencing you. And so if you spend all your time connected to the world, that's going to influence you. And then you're going to want to live like the world. You're going to want to express like the world. And so you see these people like that. They're being led. We are not our own person. We're only being led, influenced from above or from beneath, as the prophet tells us. If you want to be like the world, it's because you're being led to do that. But the Holy Ghost will lead you also. The Word will lead you. And it will never lead you to the world. Never will. But it'll lead you away from the things of the world. You know, we're familiar in the message, we're familiar with this phrase called, you don't have a thought coming. Brother Branham said that many times. You don't have a thought coming. He said, well, but I think, he said, you don't have a thought coming. Well, I think it should be this word. I think, you know, or I think this is what it means. No, you don't have a thought coming. And I'll be honest with you, I think that over the years, ministers have used that to pound people on the head because they, you know, because a lot of men, they'll present something that can't be understood or they don't understand or whatever. And if someone asks questions, they'll just pound them on the head and say, you don't have a thought coming. A lot of times people just want to understand what it is you're saying. Yeah. And just for them even questioning, they get hammered down. But how many knows that the Lord wants us to learn? He wants us to gain understanding spiritually of what these things are. And so, you know, I could just say anytime, just you don't have a thought coming. Just hammer them down. But here's the thing. Here's what I think it should be. Is that we want to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone in such a way that they realize that they don't want their own thoughts. Because it is the Word. Brother Ram's right. It is the Word, and we don't have a thought coming. We cannot take our thoughts and use it in place of the Word. Right? And that's true. But we want to come to the place in our own walk where we understand and believe and know and strive in our own walk to say, I don't want my own thoughts. What I think doesn't matter. I want the Word.
Amen.
So to come to that place where you don't want your own thoughts. Amen. You want your thoughts to agree with the Word. And if it agrees with the Word and it's not your thought, it's His. Right? That's why Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie, but mine be truth. If you're speaking His word, it's His word, and it's truth. But if it's different than His word, then it's not His word, and it's a lie. And so it's the same thing. I don't want my thoughts, which are lies. And to minister to you, till you come to a place where you understand you don't want your thoughts. You want the Word, and only the Word. Amen. And so that it is truth. And so, just almost done here. We read there where he said to don't be drunken with wine where it is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. And I was meditating on that yesterday, maybe day before yesterday. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? You know, we live in an hour in modern day Pentecost and all that, and they have pushed the idea that when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're speaking in tongues. And that might happen, too. We know that can happen. We know that's scriptural. But they've made that evidence. But what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? And you know, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Or the Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost, right? It's the Comforter. It's the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Christ. Scriptures bear all that out. It's all one and the same, right? But this Word is truth. And this Word is in spirit form. So the same Word is in a spirit form called the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. right? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's all the same thing. And it's spirit form of this word that's in written in letter form here. It's one and the same. So that the spirit of the word cannot influence you different than the word, because it is the word. Can't be any different. And so, to be full of the Spirit, be full of the Holy Ghost, be full of the word. Because you can't be different than the word. And so when you're full of something, if I take a bowl and I fill it up with water until you say it's full of water, is there something else in there? If it's full of water, there's nothing else in there. Right?
Right.
Right? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing else in there.
Right?
Right? So if you look all through the scriptures, he was full of the Holy Ghost and he did this. Or full of the Holy Ghost and he spoke this. Right? So, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it translates into something that's said or something that's done. Right? You see it all the time in scriptures. And what it's showing you there is that when they're full of the Holy Ghost, rightly, at least right for that moment, because, you know, you can be full of the Holy Ghost at the moment, and then later on, maybe, you know what I'm saying? You come down off of that high or whatever you want to call it. But right at that moment, when you're full of the Holy Ghost and you do something, what you're doing is coming from that bowl that is full of nothing but the Holy Ghost. You have nothing else to draw from. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and something happens, and your response of what you say and what you do is a response or a speaking or whatever that comes from that full vessel, there's nothing else in there. So what comes out is a manifestation of the Word right on the spot. You follow me? Because you're full of the Holy Ghost. But remember, it's the Word. See, it's all one and the same. It's the spirit form of the Word. So to fill yourself with the Word, to keep this Word ever before you, that it's with you day and night, and this is the thing that it becomes what you breathe and what you think and what you meditate on constantly, and if that's who you are and what you are, when it comes time to speak or to act, it'll come from a life full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then if it's a life full of the Holy Ghost, then it will not manifest something contrary to a word.
Right.
It'll be the word made manifest. So it's not, speaking in tongues and all that. It's the Word living, your life full of this Word, full of the program of God, so that when God needs you to act, you act drawing from a source that is nothing but the Holy Ghost. There's nothing else to draw from. And that's the way I want to be. Let me reach that place, Lord, in my life. And hopefully not at my last 5 minutes, but to be able to walk that way. It's in the Bible they did. They walked that way. You know? Anna, I think, full of the Holy Ghost, right? Simeon, full of the Holy Ghost, coming through the temple. The scripture said that for a reason. Because it was being drawn from this vessel that was full of the Holy Ghost. And so what he was doing was exactly right, because it was coming from that full vessel of the Holy Ghost. So when we get our lives into the place where we are in tune with and full of the Word, full of the spirit form of the Word, the Holy Ghost, then what we do will be right, what we say will be right, what we act out will be right, because it is the Holy Ghost doing that. I hope that helps simplify.
Man.
Don't be looking for some special something, but just a life so full of the Word that what you live is the Word. So let your mind be full of the Word. Amen. If you go back and look at the Old Testament types and everything, let that Word be, you know, they put it on their doorposts, and in the front lens between their eyes, and they had it left and right, I mean, coming in and going out. That was that type. That the best they could do back then, like that, because there's going to be a new covenant where he was going to take all that, and he was going to actually put it in your hearts. So now we live under a covenant where we have the ability for that word not just to be on the doorpost that we walk in and out every day, but we don't have to leave it on that doorpost. It goes with us. Everywhere you go, you've got it. Right? But, I mean, he knows that that vessel that can be full of the Holy Ghost, right, can also be full of a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
And that's your responsibility, to make sure that what you put inside your vessel is the Word.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Right.
Amen. Let the leadership of the Word be what you follow. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then you'll be a good leader also.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Bow our hearts to Him. We thank You, Lord, for this time and this opportunity to be with Your people. Just to speak on these things, Lord, that comes from Your Word. I mean, it's not, Lord, that it's just written here in the Word, but it's also that You have demonstrated so wonderfully in this day in an end-time ministry. I pray, Lord, that You will have inspired Your people here today to understand the importance of letting the Word rule their lives. Lord, may they understand that each day as we come to church and we read, that we are in the encounter like that rich young ruler. Let the Word lead us and guide us. Pray, Lord, that we would choose, like Moses did, to forsake this world, to follow after Your riches. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Sing a song. Amen.
Abundantly, right?
said, I'm going to show you how this works. You know, in his, he was drawing from faith. God, you're going to let us finish this job before it rains. So that, and so, why wouldn't God do that? Why wouldn't God honor his faith and hold back that rain? And I say that because I want you to realize that when you go to ask God something, why wouldn't he do that? If he's promised to do these things out of his word, why would he not? If you got something going on that hinders your faith, then you tackle that. But move yourself into a place where you can initiate these promises that God has given. Join together and believe that God is going to answer the prayers. Amen. To do these things. Beyond emotion, drive it into our realm of faith where things happen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Just remember, Sister Laura's dad also. Amen.